In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called in our Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in choosing the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, you made known your gracious regard for the poor, the lowly, and the despised. Grant us grace to receive your word in humility, and so to be made one with your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Because the shame of God's people was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as the bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth.
I glory in the Lord.
Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed.
I called
in my affliction, and the Lord heard me, and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord. For those who fear the Lord lack nothing. A reading from Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the feast of Mary, Mother of our Lord, and so we get kind of a Advent, kind of Christmassy type theme in our worship today in the middle of August, which is nice, a nice reprieve from the typical grind. And in our gospel lesson we just heard is Mary's song, also called the Magnificat. And it's important for us to just backtrack a little bit in Luke chapter 1. At the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and informs her that she has nothing to fear and that she is going to have a son, name him Jesus, that this child will be the Son of God and will be on the throne of David forever. And in that encounter with the angel Gabriel, she's also informed about the pregnancy of her relative Elizabeth, which brings us to today's gospel reading. It's in this, also known as the Visitation, when she's with Elizabeth. After receiving this word from the angel, she goes to encounter her relative Elizabeth, and it's in response to this visit with Elizabeth and what Elizabeth says to Mary that she sings this song. So in Luke chapter 1, we hear, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb," that child being John the Baptist, "and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." So Elizabeth acknowledges Mary as mother of our Lord and blesses her. And this is Mary's song in response to this encounter. And it is a powerful song, witnessing to the power of the coming of Christ into the world. Ralph Jacobson kind of puts it this way. Imagine that you're poor and you wonder why. Why are we poor? Maybe it's just the way things are, or maybe you think or hear later that kings and queens rule by divine right, and God wants them to be rich and powerful, and you to be poor. Or maybe you hear the poor are poor because they did something bad in a previous life. Or I'd say that sometimes we blame the poor for doing something bad in this life. Maybe you deserve to be poor. That's what people are hearing. And that they're suffering their poverty bravely and gladly so that they can be better in the next life. Or maybe they just think that we're poor because we're not smart enough to be wealthy. But Mary, in this song, is challenging that thinking. And even the thinking in our culture that somehow people in poverty deserve it. Mary is saying that the Messiah that is coming in Jesus Christ is going to challenge those very structures, because the lowly will be lifted. The slave will be set free. The hungry fed, and those who are vulnerable, the widow, The orphan and the sojourner will have justice. Now, Mary's doing what we are all called to do in our daily lives, and that's to magnify the Lord. How's that going for you in your daily life? How are you magnifying the Lord? I got a hard time doing it, to be honest with you. There's so many other things in my life that I magnify, right? That's a challenge, but what a witness that Mary gives to us. What an invitation. My soul magnifies the Lord. Mary acknowledges God as Savior, and Mary is singing a song that's different from the song that the world sings. Because the world wants to magnify the mighty ones. They want to praise those in power. I don't want to pick on them, but just an example, an interesting feat that was accomplished, right? Was Jeff Bezos going to the moon, right? Not going to the moon, going to space, right? Going to space, right? How much of that hit the news for a few days, right? We magnify those who have the power to do such things. And it's a chorus that we want to sing as well. We want to magnify the powerful because we hope that we too could have that power someday. I think that's one of the pitfalls of the American dream, is that we kind of want to keep certain structures in place because we hope we might be on the other side of it someday. And so we want to make sure that game is still there so that if we're on that side of it, we can enjoy it. But Mary's song is an obvious conflict with the song of the world. Now, a couple weeks ago, I shared a quote from St. John Chrysostom from the 5th century. And the quote is, "The church is a hospital and not a courtroom for sinners." And I believe that the hospital image of the church is in tune with Mary's song. It seeks to bring about healing and wholeness for all people. While the courtroom approach wants to bring about judgment and condemnation, and again, creating a toxic environment of church where you have certain people in power that preside on the judgment seat and then have power over people where they can feel ostracized, shunned, ashamed, and embarrassed. And someone sincerely asked me, why are Christians so judgmental? That this had been their experience throughout their lives, that they just felt that Christians were so harsh to them and just treated them poorly. And I told them that this quote from St. John Chrysostom tells me a couple things. One, the church has always been tempted to go the route of the courtroom. Otherwise, St. John Chrysostom wouldn't have said what he said, right? So even in the 5th century, there's this temptation to have a courtroom approach. But it also tells me another thing. It tells me that Christians like St. John Chrysostom all the way back to the 5th century wanted to be in tune with Mary's song and said and tried to remind the church that we are to be a hospital and not a courtroom. Why? Because the ministry that we carry out, that song that we continue out into the world, is to lift up the lowly. Mary's song is not just about the salvation of our souls, but the entire person. The entire person. The church is to cultivate an environment in which there is healing and wholeness for people in this world. A reminder that they belong to God and that we belong to one another. A reminder that they belong to God and that we belong to one another. That is something we need to hear today. Because we live right now in a society and culture that we don't feel that we belong to one another. We can just go our own way. But we do belong to one another. And we do belong to this God. Now, why did this person experience so much judgment and condemnation? And my thought there is that there are people that want that power in this world. They want to sing that song. And they have used and abused religion and Christianity in particular in order to have power over people in order to accomplish just that. They manipulate, they have hijacked and used our faith to abuse people. But that's not the gospel. give you a little pop quiz. Did Jesus come to us in power? No. He came to us in weakness. Did Jesus come to preach fear? No. Love. Did Jesus come to spread hate? No. Peace. Jesus being born of a woman, being born of Mary, we acknowledge his humanity and willingness to be in solidarity with us under the law so that we might be free from that toxic song of this world that seeks to have power one way or another. Either people to have power over us or for that temptation for us to have power over them. That's not the kingdom that Christ is ushering in. Power creates arrogance. And if we take Mary's song seriously, the hubris of those in power will contribute to their downfall. I know it's tempting, but Mary's song offers a vision that is here and that is to come and that will last. Mary sings a song of God that desires to bless us, that desires to lift us, that desires to fill us with good things. And we are called to sing with Mary, to magnify the work of God in this world, of the kingdom that is here and that is to come. And it is through the work of Christ that we are free. We are free for that song of power in this world to fall on our deaf ears, because we are adopted into the family of God, into the household of God, into the kingdom of God. Mary bears Christ in the world, and we are to do just that. Mary's soul magnifies the Lord, and we are to do just that. Why? Again, people today are receiving a projection of God that is outright blasphemous. There's people that have a lack of compassion. They're filled with fear. They're filled with hate. And then they intertwine it with our faith. They attach the name of God to it. And that facade pushes people away from Jesus. Those people that are claiming to be Christian are not magnifying the works of God. They're not magnifying the will of God. They're magnifying their own will and their own needs in the name of God. And by definition, that is blasphemy. Now, over the years, Lutherans and other Protestants have had some avoidance of lifting up Mary because other Christians have been perceived to place her too high on a pedestal, and in doing so, that might get in the way of us seeing and knowing Jesus. But reflect on this song that Mary sings. She's not trying to get in the way of Jesus at all. She's pointing us to Jesus. Look at Mary's life and ministry. When we walk with Mary in our discipleship, where are you going to end up? If you walk with Mary in your discipleship, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up at the foot of the cross, right? That's where she ends up, the foot of the cross. That's where Jesus wants us to be, right? Pick up your cross and follow. Mary's one of those disciples that does that. When we walk with Mary in her discipleship, we're going to be at the foot of the cross. And that's what we're to do in the world. To sing this song, to magnify the Lord in our daily lives, to invite people into our lives, so that when we do magnify the Lord, they're encountering Jesus. They're encountering Christ. That our life would embody the words of Mary's radical song sung here. That this world would see the love of God. That this song would become our life and our hope for the world. Because it's not power, but the love of God that transforms things. And that love of God is more powerful than the worldly powerful that is sung in this world and that is idolized by this world. So may Mary's song be our song as well. May we magnify the Lord in word and deed so that others might be blessed, so that others might be lifted, and that others might be fed with the love of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Christ bore witness. Your life saved. We honor faithful Mary, fair maiden full of grace. She bore the Christ our brother, who saved our human race. May we with her surrender ourselves to your command, and lay upon your altar our gifts of heart and hand. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to God the Spirit, who binds the church as one with saints who went before us, with saints who witness still. We sing glad alleluias and strive to do your will.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all of creation. Gracious God, you have revealed your power. You revealed your power of love for people overlooked and cast aside, sending your Son to be born among the humble and poor. Send your church to proclaim good news to those who feel abandoned, despised, or rejected, and make our congregations places of genuine welcome and hospitality. God, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God, in your mercy. All creation longs for healing and restoration. Thwart the destruction of plant and animal habitats and amplify the voices of those who advocate for wise stewardship of the earth's resources. God, in your mercy. We remember your promise to our ancestors and look to you for justice. Expose pride, greed, and exploitation wherever it is found, and raise up humble leaders who act on behalf of those who are poor, oppressed, or in other need. God, in your mercy. Your Spirit lives in our hearts and makes us heirs of salvation. Rescue us from shame and dishonor. Lift up the lowly, fill the hungry with good things, and have mercy on those who turn to you for help. Especially Matt, the family of Anel Bouchatz, Tracy, Scott, Dean, Amber, Vincent, Pat, the family of Dina Glass, Candace, Stan, Ron, Lynn, Blaine, Michelle, Audrey, Rhonda, Nola, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, and our homebound. God, in your mercy. Mary's song of praise and amazement echoes through this assembly. Attend to those in this congregation and community expecting a child. Console those who are struggling to conceive. Come to the aid of those enduring a difficult pregnancy and those who have experienced a miscarriage. God, in your mercy. God of all, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. God, in your mercy. We give thanks for the saints who have found refuge in you, O God, especially Mary, Mother of our Lord Jesus. As you have delivered them from all afflictions, so save us from all our earthly troubles until that day when we sing your praise together in heaven. God, in your mercy. We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. Full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering his death, we cry out, amen.
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, amen.
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, amen.
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit upon this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuously. We'll have stations of wine on both sides. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. If you desire grape juice, that'll only be served on the pulpit side over here, so make sure you get on that side. Ushers will have trays of glass cups, and they will release you forward. So just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet. For all is now ready. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.